Welcome to the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Brian Christopherson, joined by Michael Bruns, Mike Schaefer, still on his honeymoon up in Maine with the Black Bears. And we have a special guest, Gary Sharp from the Gary Sharp Show on 1620. He's nice enough to have me on every Friday and I babble about stuff and he keeps having me back. And so we need to have him on here. And he also, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I feel honored. This is weird to be on the other side of this.
Yeah. How's it feel?
Awkward. I'm still doing a show without pants, so I'm still good.
Okay. That's all that we needed to know. But you know what? Nebraska hired an athletic director yesterday, Trev Alberts, and it felt like you were really dialed in among local media members and as this thing was going along with, you know, kind of understanding Trev and his background in Omaha. I'll admit something. When he took over as the AD of UNO, I followed him closely for a while there, and I have sort of been distant from him for a while. Like, I mean, I kind of know what's going on at UNO here and there, but I think we know the big things with what happened with football and wrestling. But for a lot of us, it sort of, there's a stopping point to what we know about what he got done there. And so I thought maybe we could dive into that first, just as you kind of think about what he accomplished, because people are saying, okay, why'd they hire this guy? What did he do at his previous stop? What did you see out of him in his time, which was a long time as the AD at UNO?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable thing. He's been there for 12 years. You know, he had to make some hard decisions, and that was the hardest, to drop two sports. And then once you drop them, transition an athletic department from Division II to Division I to join your hockey program, and all of the finances that go into it, the expectations, joining a league, trying to find a brand. He rebranded the athletic department. I think what Trev did in 12 years is pretty impressive for somebody who did not have that background when he got the job, because he essentially just came from television into athletic administration. And for 12 years, he transformed the campus. And, you know, you go back to wrestling and football, and that's the thing over the last 24 hours that has been brought up. And I think there's two Trevs. One, that was early on in his tenure that he had to make a tough decision. And he wasn't the only one. There were other people involved. Could it have been handled a lot better in the rollout? Absolutely. But if you look at now where Omaha Athletics is, it was the thing that had to be done to move the program into Division I and be able to keep their head above water. And I saw, you can look at Trev learning from mistakes. And he brought that up yesterday. He said, we're going to make mistakes, but then we're going to learn from them. And whether it was a mistake or not, the way that was handled, the Trev part two is really impressive. His leadership, his managing of coaches, his raising money, his building facilities, and getting programs to know that the expectation is to do the right thing, do it the right way, and you're going to be victorious. So I think there were a lot of things along the way that at this moment in his career, it was probably the Nebraska job came along at the right time. A couple of years ago when Moose got the job, it wasn't the right time. I think he was interested back before Eichhorst got it, but T.O. was hinted, hey, I don't think you're going to be the guy. This appears to be the time for Trev in his last stage of his athletic career.
Sorry, Bruns, I'll ask one more and then get out of the way. What did you think about yesterday's performance? I always think of it as like when it's the opening act in front of everybody. What was your takeaway?
He was fabulous. But you know what? That's the easy part. Trev is like that. That's a big reason you saw yesterday why Trev has raised over $100+ million. And he was going to raise $130 million for the last phase of an athletic facility here in Omaha. I looked at him and I said, man, he's professional. He's not going to step outside and say something, you know, off the cuff. He's going to be straightforward. He's got a presence. I mean, you guys all know him. He's 6'4". And when you get him in a setting like that, I knew that he would be very good in selling his vision and telling how it's going to work, because that's who Trev is. And I think if people haven't heard him speak, like you haven't been at a booster function or something like that, you were probably wowed. I mean, we're not getting the wild, wild west. We're getting a guy who's very professional, knows what he's saying. His words are powerful and he's very calculated. I think that was a great opening performance for Trev. But again, guys, I think that was the easy part. Now becomes the hard part for him.
You mentioned in other avenues, I've heard you mention kind of the Omaha business connections. how big of a piece is that, especially for Nebraska? I mean, it seems like that's a community that Nebraska seems to have gotten a little bit farther away from. I'm not obviously the recruiting stuff, you know, being what it is, but how does he help kind of bridge back to the Omaha community? Cause it seems like the university has kind of gotten a little bit farther away in recent years. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. You know, there's two things that stand out that I think that put Trev ahead of others. One is his relationship with Ted Carter. So they've known each other for a little bit. So Ted has gotten to see what Trev does in his role as Omaha athletic director. And then Nebraska just doesn't have a presence here in Omaha. Whether it beats recruiting in some sports, but they don't really have like the boosters. And it's been tough. And this is going on about 5-7 years where they've had trouble coming into Omaha and raising money from new people. You know, this is the largest city in the state. It's got a ton of alumni. It's got a huge passion for Nebraska athletics, but they haven't been able to find a way to get new boosters and get money out of here. What does Trev do? Trev knows everybody in Omaha, and Trev has raised hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's got connections. And you know what? The same people that are boosters of Omaha are also boosters of Nebraska. So that helps as well. But I think that was a key component in Nebraska saying, you know what, we still have money to raise for a football facility. How do we do it? Oh, there's a guy that knows Omaha where there's some untapped money in there that we can go in and get. And I think you'll see Trev hit the ground running in terms of being a face of Nebraska athletics in Omaha and also finishing up the fundraising for the football facility.
You mentioned kind of the two pieces of his time at UNO. Obviously you have the cutting the football, wrestling, that's a big piece of it for a lot of people, I think, that are kind of, you know, detractors about this hire. But the part of kind of transitioning UNO to Division I, you kind of got a close up look at kind of how that process went and the heavy lifting that goes into that. I mean, can you give us a better idea, I guess, of A, Trev's role in that, and B, just the challenges that come with that move? Because I think that's maybe something that's been overlooked a little bit in terms of his executive experience. I mean, that seems like a pretty significant item to his resume that maybe we're not talking about enough.
That's a huge lift to take a program that is Division II to Division I, where you're joining a conference, you're in the NCAA, the money goes up, the scholarships go up, the expectations go up, the different kind of coaches you have in those sports. So these are all tough decisions. But I think Trev along the way has made tough decisions, but he's also done a really good job of managing people. You heard he was, you know, leadership was a big thing, trust. I think those things to lift an athletic department that high and to do it in a rapid fashion, I think you can't do it without somebody like Trev, who had a vision, also was very, very patient in getting there. Because he could have said, man, we want to be winning in the Summit League in our first couple of years. But he knew it was going to be difficult because this was a huge transition. You had new coaches. You had to go and recruit different athletes, different areas that you were going to recruit. And he has led that charge. And you know what? Now it's kind of you're about a decade into it. It's very comfortable to be Division I at Omaha. But you couldn't have done that without Trev taking the reins and running with it. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a huge part of his resume, is to lift a program from Division II to Division I and still be there in the mix to see it through like he has.
I like how he answered the NIL question yesterday too, the changing landscape of college athletics. And he just had that part where he said, you know, there's going to be some athletic directors, or about half of them, that are going to want to just hang on to the past. They're going to want this to be 1988 all the time. And we're going to be comfortable being uncomfortable, I think, was his quote. And I just, that was a line that stuck out to me. I don't know if there was a particular part that jumped to you, but I thought he handled that part of talking about something that's really an unknown that he's going to face in a pretty, pretty good way. And in a way that I think will impress people and make them think, okay, this guy is somebody who's embracing the challenge of, I don't know necessarily where college athletics is going, but I'm going to take it on.
You know, that phrase is a Tom Osborne phrase. That's mm-hmm. what they preached is, We want you to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And so he repeated a couple of phrases that are like his key ones, unity of purpose. I think first and foremost, he's a student athlete guy because he was one. He was the student and the athlete. So he understands the importance of the role that the student athletes play on your campus, the success of your programs, to get them a degree, to have their experience be top notch, because you want them to come back to the program. That's the one thing I've seen at Omaha is there's a wide open door for former athletes across all sports to come back, either to finish their degree or to be part of the program, to be a supporter. So his student athlete push is real. It wasn't just, hey, I'm up in front of the crowd yesterday. That's a big thing that he does. He likes to win. He likes to build facilities. And the student athlete experience is paramount. And I think at a place like Nebraska, where he knows what it means to be a student athlete, but also what the landscape is, I think, you know, if you look at Moose compared to Trev, Trev probably has a better handle on where athletics is going, whether it be the student athlete or the big picture down the road with the involvement of the NCAA. So I think with assistance from people that are deep into it at a different level compared to Omaha with name, image, likeness, I think he'll be able to hit a home run for the student athletes. And I think he'll take that to another level just to use as an advantage for Nebraska against other schools they're going to go up against.
It sounded like there was a real pitch going on from Ted Carter and Ronnie Green to make sure Garrett Classy is a guy who sticks around too.
Yeah, you know what? So this is, I know this from Trev. He apologized. So he had a staff meeting yesterday afternoon back in Omaha, and he apologized to the staff that they had to find out through a press release. But he literally did finalize the deal Tuesday night. They signed the contract Wednesday. They were very nervous that it was getting out. So that's why they went from a 9:15 press release to an 11 a.m. conference. Trev was very uncomfortable with that because he didn't get to tell his staff here in Omaha what was going to happen. But, you know, I think I was surprised and I kept telling myself, why would he take this job? He's got a good thing in Omaha. He's so excited about here. But I think the pull of Nebraska, he loves the place. He understands the place. And his last go as an athletic individual before he goes off to Clemson, South Carolina and retires, I think the pull of coming into Nebraska, not to fix it, but to help it, was a big tipping point for him to say yes at this point in his life, you know, where he's got kids that are out of the house and he was looking forward to projects here at Omaha. And now he's going to do projects in Lincoln as the athletic director at Nebraska.
What do you mentioned kind of the next step. I mean, he won the press conference. Now, you know, on Monday you have to get to work. Aside from the obvious, you know, kind of the grading and looking at the football program, what do you see as other things that he needs to kind of accomplish in the next, let's say, year?
I think he needs to be in what his role is pretty good at Omaha is mentoring coaches. I think from my understanding and in talking to coaches that actually are coaches inside the athletic department, they kind of got two athletic departments going right now. And the athletic director needs to be the center focus of the athletic department. He's not the end all be all. He's not whatever I say goes, but there has to be some, you know, authority where I go to the athletic director and I trust him and we can talk it through and he'll take care of me. I think that's what Trev needs to do. I think Trev needs to bring the whole athletic department under one roof and tell his vision to everybody that is there and then finish the football facility in terms of raising money. And what he'll do, and I keep saying this, if you look at coaches at Omaha, even coaches that have had a down year, he's very patient. I think he sits back and he observes. He's not a super hands-on guy, but you're going to see him at a lot of events. He's going to get to know people's names. He's first and foremost a fan. So you'll see that at events. He cheers as a fan, even though he's the athletic director. But I think he'll sit back and I think he will listen, not with his mouth, but his ears, to figure out, okay, where is Nebraska at? But guys, he did this thing. So when it looked like he was going to be the strong candidate after he interviewed last Friday, he asked a lot of people that were familiar with Nebraska athletics, what do you think has gone wrong? What do you think makes Nebraska athletics so special? And he took a lot of people's advice on what they thought was the good and bad right now of Nebraska athletics. And I think you'll see that over the next 6 months that he implements those and he kind of understands what has either benefited Nebraska or has ailed Nebraska. But when it comes back to football, I think he's going to be very patient. But I'm curious, and maybe you guys have brought this up as well. Is he going to observe football as the former player, understanding everything that goes into it? Is he going to observe it as the TV guy, Trev Alberts? Or is he going to observe it as an administrator, knowing the importance that football has to be successful so that everybody else benefits from?
Yeah, that's a good point. I also liked, kind of along those lines, I liked when he said, you know, we're not entitled to anything here. We're going to have to work. And I think that's a pattern that sometimes has fallen into Nebraska football, not just in the program, but with the fan base. I still hear it. Like when Nebraska will play an Illinois or a Purdue type team, for instance, we still act like, well, Nebraska's just supposed to handle business because they're Nebraska. And some things are just supposed to happen, even though a lot of recent history tells us that's not necessarily the case. And I like if someone resets the button a little bit on that and says, we're not granted anything just because we have that N on the helmet or anything like that. And there's a couple things like that where I thought he said some things, maybe they were subtle, but there was some power to them.
Don't you think also, BC, he said some things that he took from his conversation with Ronnie Green or whoever else, because I think it's important, and I've gotten this impression in the last year, is you don't want to take your fan base for granted. They're so passionate about the product, but you can't just say, hey, they're just going to show up at our stadium. They're going to come support our teams. They're going to donate their money. I thought that was another subtle thing that he said, is we won't take you for granted, making the fans a vital part of what they do. I think Trev knows what he's getting into. He knows that it's not going to be the Trev Albert show. It's got to be the Nebraska show, where he is part of the lifting of things. But you can see, adding to your point, BC, he's a very good listener. And I think if you go back and listen to what he said yesterday, I think there's a couple of things in there that he took from conversations with Ronnie Green or Ted Carter about what they saw is the issues at Nebraska that need to be taken care of sooner than later.
And it was clear, it felt to me, that there was a lot of talk during the interview process, or at least a decent amount, about Nebraska needing to grow their relationship with the Big Ten, needing to have somebody who's a presence in that room. Ronnie Green went out of his way to say, we're in the Big Ten at the end, and nobody had even asked him about that. And then off to the side, I thought, Trev, this was not on stage, but I asked him about sort of that topic, and I thought he gave a solid answer. He said, you know, the Big Ten needs Nebraska, but Nebraska needs a Big Ten, and it can be an awesome conference if you're winning in it. And I've been saying that for a long time. Look at volleyball. It's a great conference in volleyball, but you got to start winning, and then it's fun.
Yeah, he is. I just think his presence. I mean, he walks into a room. Guys, look at yesterday. He got off that elevator, and you're like, whoa, okay, I noticed that guy. He's not only large, he's 6'4", but he is good looking. He's very professional. I think that's going into a setting like that. The one thing I noticed with Trev when it comes to the Summit League is, and he ruffled some feathers in the Summit League because he always wanted the better for Omaha in the Summit League, and he wanted the Summit League to be better. He thought they should have a better TV contract for their sports. So he ruffled some feathers because he was in it for Omaha. He'll go to the Big Ten, and he will take his seat, and I think he will first listen and then let everybody know, we're going to do what's best for Nebraska in a relationship with the Big Ten. We're not going to be separate from the Big Ten. We need the Big Ten to help Nebraska out. But you got to understand, I'm here representing Nebraska. But he's not afraid to go there with people at the big boy table. Now, it would help, as we all said, to go to the big boy table in the Big Ten if you've got a good football program, because then people perk up and they listen to you a little bit more. But another thing, he's had some experience where he has dealt with probably people that are already in the Big Ten. So it won't be like, hi, I'm Trev Alberts. He knows those people, which I think also helps out not only internally at Nebraska, but I think also when he gets into those Big Ten AD meetings.
Well, that's good stuff. Brunt's nodding his head along. He approved of that message. Who's your British Open pick? Yeah, give us your British Open pick for the road. You got one?
Well, I could say, as we are taping this, Jordan Spieth, but I like Lee Westwood.
Okay.
I wouldn't have hated if you would have said Stuart Sink, just out of the blue, too.
John Rahm or DeChambeau.
It's the clubs. The clubs aren't good for England, apparently, Bryson says. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, how long do you think Trev will be at Nebraska? Or has to be at Nebraska?
We talked about this when the search was still ongoing, and I think that they needed to find somebody who was there long-term. I mean, I think you need him there past the five-year contract, because Nebraska continually reshuffling the deck, and, you know, you went with Eichhorst, you tried Moose. You just need some stability in that role. And a couple coaches said that yesterday too, that, you know, look, they felt like there's momentum in the athletic department. I think some of the hires that Bill Moose made have kind of pushed things forward. There's buildings going up, and they just, a couple of them said they needed a steady, consistent hand to kind of get everybody together and pulling in the same direction. And I think you need him there longer than 5 years. I mean, I think that's the expectation.
13 years.
50 years old. That would be amazing. We wouldn't know how to react if an athletic director was at Nebraska for 13 years. We would wonder why is he sticking around?
Why aren't we paying buyouts to this person?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you not understand the past history? You could be a rich man by leaving.
This place can wear you out too. If you could survive more than a decade, I give you some credit, because it's a little sewing circle around here sometimes.
How about John Cook and Gary Pepin? John Cook has been through what, five athletic directors? Pepin goes all the way back to Devaney.
Yeah, he's getting a new track, but yeah, Gary Pepin gets overlooked on the pantheon of Nebraska coaches. He's been there forever.
Yeah, I think one thing that Trev would like is he comes in and he doesn't need to hire any coaches immediately unless that coach leaves on their own.
Yeah. Don't you think one of the appeals, before we get you out of here, because I know you have a busy day, I've said all along, one of the things I'd like if I were taking this job is I don't feel like I have to make a big move right away. And I think that's that's the great thing, is he's got time, and the way you presented it, sort of his makeup as an AD at Omaha. I don't think this is a make or break year for anybody. I don't. And I think it's a perfect setup for Trev to have a year and a half or so with all these sports to say, okay, what's good here, what's bad here, and do a real thorough overview before making any big decisions one way or another about anything.
Yeah, I think you're right, BC. I don't think they said, hey, Trev, we're hiring you, and you got to make a move in football. This isn't Bill Moose. I think they hired Trev and they said, be the athletic director at Nebraska and do what's best for Nebraska.
Yep. Well, thanks so much for popping on with us.
I wish I had a better background.
That's all right. I don't think Brunts puts it out there because he's embarrassed of my background, I think. I think that's what that all comes back to, because there is none.
Yeah, this is audio only, but you don't sell your background short, Gary. You got a picture on the wall, which is more than BC and I can say right now. You got a shelf over there.
So this room is like designed by Target.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I live. Target and Kohl's. I have a lot of Kohl's. My dresser is full of Kohl's clothing.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I am outfitted by Kohl's actually today. This nice little polo that I have on.
It's the milk store of Wisconsin.
Well played.
All right. Well, have a good show today. And thanks so much for coming on and all the Trev insights. That was great.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the Husker 24/7 podcast. We're coming back. We just talked with Gary Sharp. Good insight there. Gary's really well connected to Trev's situation, and I think has followed it about as close as anybody. So it was interesting to hear from somebody who not everybody's like me, but I do think there's a lot of people outside of Omaha who haven't followed, you know, like the weekly workings of Trev Alberts as the UNO athletic director. So it's good to see, like, this isn't all about a guy who just a couple big events happened 10 years ago with a couple sports and that's his resume. And so it's good to get the more full on detailed look at what all went down with Trev Alberts at UNO. And I think overall, from a distance, I've always thought he leaves there with a pretty positive grade. And obviously Ted Carter thought so too. And that, I think, Brunts, I was going to start with that. I think the Ted Carter aspect is one that I didn't think about enough like a couple weeks ago. Because Ted Carter comes in as a university system president about a year and a half ago. And for people who don't understand how that all works, he's looking over not just UNL, but UNO, UNK, UNMC. And so he's getting to know all these figureheads at all of those places. And so he's getting to know Trev Alberts as UNO AD really well. And that relationship, you could tell yesterday at the press conference, was very strong and probably, I would have to think, made Trev maybe a front runner from the start, even though there were some good candidates in the field.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I kind of coming into everything. I mean, it's still Ronnie Green's show, I think. But at the same time, I think certainly that relationship and the comfort probably with Ted Carter, from Trev's point of view, probably made that a little bit of a, you know, this time is right type of a move for him from UNO. You know, I my sense is that things are still very much aligned in terms of the administration in the NU system, which, you know, I think is important in terms of stability and kind of trying to reverse the trend of just burning through coaches and administrators. But I think that was really important. I think, you know, still trying to get a sense of Ted Carter a little bit too. I think he moves quietly, but pretty strong behind the scenes too. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that relationship is kind of what allowed Trev to maybe move ahead of some other candidates. And also from, you know, Trev's point of view, allowed him to accept a job that, you know, is a bump up in stress, workload, more underneath the magnifying glass than what he had at Omaha, where it seemed like he kind of had that thing moving in the right direction and teed up pretty well.
Yeah, and you're right to bring up Ronnie's, you know, big Ronnie Green's big say in this. But obviously they were working in, there's sort of a nice tandem they had at the press conference where they're both up there, and that's sort of become the way they've done things with these big athletic hires in recent years, where both the chancellor and the university, the Nebraska president, is involved together. So I just think it was probably useful when you've got what was described to us basically as there was a pool of, they said 25 off the bat or so, I think they had. And then it quickly moved to, okay, like there's eight that we really think are above the field here. And we don't know who those eight are necessarily. And then they went through the search committee, and probably the interesting thing there was the heavy involvement of both current and, some former Huskers, like the student athletes, and, you know, even Sue's name got mentioned, and Crouch and some of those guys, and Austin Allen, a current Husker, was up there. I think you talked to Austin, didn't you? I don't know what he said, but sort of what did he see as his role? Did he get into that?
Yeah, he was, you know, flipping through the resumes and books on everybody that was being considered for the job. I mean, I don't know that it was necessarily his decision to make.
He's like, we did not offer Jamie Pollard. Jamie Pollard was never contacted.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I think it's important that you have that kind of a face on the committee. What was it? Who else was on it? Sue, Darren Erstad was on it.
Yeah. Peaches James, great softball.
Were you on it? It seemed like everybody else that was affiliated with the university had a role in this.
You had to make the two deep on the football team to have a say.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that matters. But, yeah, they vetted their candidates, and, you know, they felt like Austin Allen said he felt like Trev made a lot of sense. And to him specifically, he said he felt that because he was a former athlete himself, that meant a lot to him because he understood the experience and the process of playing at a place like Nebraska. Bill Moose obviously played at Washington State, but many, many moons ago. And I think that, one of my takeaways from Austin was that he really liked that Trev seemed to understand maybe what students are facing more so than some of the other candidates.
Wonder if we're going to see Trev. He's technically starts Monday. So he could be out in theory at the Big Ten media days. I wonder if he'll make an appearance there and do some glad handing with the fellow Big Ten ADs and leaders.
I would guess so. I mean, yeah. You're going to have Kevin Warren there for a grilling session on Thursday with media. So I think it makes sense for Trev to be there to kind of get out. And I don't know. I mean, Gary's point, I think, is an important one. And you mentioned this too, that, you know, Nebraska, obviously if and when they start winning football games, they're going to be able to throw their weight around a little bit more than what they have been able to this point. However, as we've discussed, I mean, it seems like a lot of what Nebraska has tried to advocate for over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years has kind of fallen on deaf ears within the conference. And how do you get the elbows out a little bit more and start throwing your weight around, I think is going to be an important thing for Trev to navigate, and especially doing that with a football program that's still trying to find its footing.
Yeah. And I think it's important to, nobody in the administration is thinking this, so I think fans and media need to kind of get past this too. Every few months or something, it feels like there's something that comes up where we get this discussion about like going to the Big 12, you know, like Nebraska going back to the Big 12 or something like that. It just always floats out there whenever Nebraska is mad about something that needs to be put away, I think. And unless there's some serious groundwork beneath something like that, let's just kind of move on from that, because it's not doing it's not doing any service because it's just not happening. I mean, that's my point. It's like, you could want that. I don't care. I don't care what your opinion is on it. If you will think Nebraska, it'd be more fun in the Big 12 or the Pac 12, whatever you may think, good for you. I'm just saying it's not happening. And Nebraska needs to embrace, how do we get our voice heard in this conference that we're going to be in probably for a long time and win here? And what's the best way to get back at some folks that have been rough on you? Win. You know, like, the worst thing you can do is tuck tail and run. And so I like that was just sort of nipped in the bud with a new takeover at AD yesterday. It's like, no, we're in the Big Ten. We got to win. We got to work. We're not entitled to anything. Let's go. And that was my favorite message of the whole thing.
I did appreciate Ronnie Green, though, just reemphasizing that Nebraska's, you know, is very comfortable in the Big Ten and is not going to be bringing the old Big Eight back from the ashes. That was an interesting non sequitur, but something that he had obviously talked about with somebody on a list of bullet points prior to that speech happening.
Yeah, it was definitely. And I will say, this is nobody's fault. The questions ended pretty quickly at the end with Ronnie and Ted Carter. And I did want to actually ask about that, because I asked Trev about it in the back. So I'm kind of glad that he went back and hit on it. But you're right. If you paid attention to the speech yesterday, you really got the bullet points on what, like, and Gary was talking about this, like, everything that was probably discussed, like, in the interview. You know, like, it was like, got to strengthen the relationship with the Big Ten. Okay, that's one topic. No, you don't have to immediately come in and knock a coach off a chair. I mean, there was like four or five different things like that where it's like, okay, this was their main part, the NIL thing, you know, the changing landscape. That was part of it.
It's like, I just, in my head a couple times, I like, as they transitioned, I was thinking to myself, and next slide. But what, one thing that I guess we didn't ask Gary about it, that I'm curious on your thoughts. So Trev obviously has the background in media as a longtime pundit and foil of Mark May on ESPN. For a long time, has abstained from pretty much any commentary about the state of things at Nebraska, at UNL.
Yeah.
At least. Do you think I think that's a good thing. Because right now, the only comments that I really see floating out there right now is what he had to say about Frank Solich being fired, and his opinion on that. But beyond that, I mean, you don't have the parsing and the, you know, getting out the tweezers and kind of doing the operation type dissection of everything he said about Nebraska football in the last 15 years. Do you think that that's a good thing? Like, it feels like a good thing, right? Like, you kind of start from a fresh slate here.
It definitely is for him, because nobody knows what cards he holds. Nobody really knows what he thinks about what's happened the last 3 years or the last 10 years, because he's never opined about it. And he didn't yesterday. You wouldn't expect him to. You'd expect him to just support his coaches and, you know, say, I'm eager to get to know him and all that. And that's what he did. That's probably is to his advantage, because it's very easy. And he could have done it, even though he was the UNO AD, is he could have, you know, in 2015 had some big take on, you know, something that happened with Husker football and got interviewed about something. And that would have been completely natural in this state for that to occur. And he was probably wise to avoid that in the position he was in. And I don't know that he did it ultimately thinking, you know, one day I could be Husker athletic director. Maybe he did, you know, maybe, because he's always brought up every time there's been an opening, he at least gets his name mentioned. But it worked out well for him, because I think, even though he's part of the Husker family from his playing days and has his name in the stadium, I think he's an interesting hire because he's not directly connected to the everybody that's over there right now. Like, he knows them and all that stuff, but it's not like he hired any of these people or, you know, at previous places or anything like that. He should be able to give somewhat of a fresh outlook when he gets inside those walls, even though he's a family member. This doesn't have to be a deal where he's tied to a certain coach or something. And I think that's a tough spot to be in if you had made that type of hire.
Yeah. And I'm also interested to see, you know, what kind of public face he's going to put on as AD. Because if you think about it, I mean, we've had Sean Eichhorst, who was by and large, you know, not out and about with media and with fans and, you know, at least in a really public way. You had Bill Moose that at times probably said a little too much, quite frankly, about topics as AD, and that's fine. I mean, that's his style. But it feels like Trev at least has the potential to be the kind of AD where he's accessible, but at the same time, he's not going to kind of speak out of school on topics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of a middle ground, I guess, between his two predecessors. And that's kind of a hard needle to thread sometimes too with people where, you know, I think fans, they want to hear from an AD and they want to be able to complain about the quality of popcorn at Memorial Stadium or, you know, ask questions about Dorothy Lynch and that kind of thing. And at the same time, like, I think you also need an athletic director that's kind of able to rise above the fray a little bit, you know, with the position that they're in. And that's another piece of it that, you know, we don't really know, because I'm kind of like you. Like, I was a little bit floored that he's been at UNO for as long as he has been, just because, you know, you're aware that he's there, but you didn't really hear a ton from him locally on things.
Did you give up?
Especially Lincoln.
Yeah, do you consider yourself a Lincolnite now, Brunts? Brunts was an Omahan like I was as a kid.
Yeah, I don't, I would, I think my, the kind of nexus of my solar system has moved west. Like, I don't know. Like, I think I get Omaha still. I like to think I do, but at the same time, I mean, Omaha is a very different city from where you and I grew up. I mean, it's changed a ton. It's grown a ton. That was kind of my point with Gary. Like, Omaha is much different now than it was 15 years ago. And it feels like as that change has taken place, that maybe the university and the city itself have maybe grown apart a little bit. I don't know.
I think you're right. The two Lincoln guys talking about it, I guess, but I that's my read on it. I mean, obviously there's still a huge Husker fan base in Omaha. We have people listening that are big fans in Omaha right now, but I think even they would say, like, around them, when I was a kid, it was Husker like land. I mean, yeah, you'd get occasional Hawkeyes here and there because they're close to the river and stuff like that. But it was so predominantly red, Nebraska red in Omaha. And the Huskers had such a hold on that area. And, you know, UNO's changed in that time. UNO, I think, has built not just athletically, but academically a lot of stuff up in the last 20 years. And it's different. We're getting into a different topic, but I think kids in Omaha have been quicker to go there than they used to be when I was in high school. UNO at that point was viewed as more of a, I don't want to say a community college or something like that, but it was viewed as a slightly different than UNL. And now it's, I feel completely different about UNO, and I think people there do. So UNL is no longer just like the big enchilada to everybody all across the state. It is to places outside of Omaha still, but there, that's why it'll be interesting to see what Trev can get done in that city. And it's not going to necessarily mean Nebraska is going to start getting every Omaha football recruit, but it's a storyline to watch.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Anything else we need to hit on with Trev?
I don't think so. It'll be an interesting journey. I think he's going to be around a while. I don't know if it'll be more than a decade or anything like that, but if you can go beyond 5 years right now, that's a good start. Get past that first contract. we haven't seen that in a while with things.
It's been a while. That's a good toe in the water is can an administrator at Nebraska get past that first contract?
Yeah. And by the way, my British Open pick, I'm watching a little bit of it right now, but I'm going to say Brant Snedeker as a weird.
is he doing okay?
He's like 300. So he's not atop the leaderboard. So I don't want people to be like, well, he's winning. The person who's ahead on Thursday never wins it anyway, do they?
Very rarely. That's why I think you'd have to have some stones right now to pick Stuart Sink. That's why I think that's the pick for me.
Okay.
I'm going to go way dark horse. We're turning it back to 2009.
So put all that, if you get nothing from this podcast on Trev, at least take to put all of your retirement money on either Stuart Sink or Brant Snedeker.
Yeah. Thank you later. You're welcome.
Yeah. You don't have to explain that move to your family. Just do it now and you'll be fine.
About that European vacation we were going to take, I listened to these two idiots
clowns
who told me to bet on Stuart Sink and Brant Snedeker.
Yeah.
And you have to explain who both of those guys are.
All right. Should we get out of here?
Yeah, I think we're done.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Husker 24/7 podcast. We'll have a lot of stuff on the site. There's really no slowdown now. We go to Big Ten Media Days next week. So we'll have a ton of stuff on that. Fall camp begins like basically right after Big Ten Media Days and the next week after that. And then week zero game, it's going to get intense. And so you should come to Husker 24/7 for all the latest.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.